But today we're going to be diving into Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to be talking about being made new in Christ means that we have a new self. That the Bible says that made new in Christ means that I put off the old self and I put on a new self. And sometimes we kind of struggle with that. We get comfortable. And I might just be speaking for myself. I'm not a person that enjoys a lot of change. I get used to something and I like it that way. Even back as a child, my family, my mom and dad, and my mom's mom and dad were always involved at the South Bend Farmers Market. They always had stuff that they were selling that we had grown. And I could go down to the restaurant at the market and sit there, and the waitress would bring my meal, and I didn't have to say a word. She knew what I wanted. I got it every time. I don't like change. I get comfortable. I don't want to put off the old self. I want to keep what's comfortable. And I suspect I'm not the only one like that. I know there are some that are adventurous and they want something new every time they go somewhere. For me, most restaurants could have a very short menu that was one line and I would be satisfied. But that's just me. But putting on this new self, Colossians 3, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 17, but in the middle of that, verses 9 and 10 says, "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator." When we look at putting on this new self, I have to ask, what does that look like in everyday life? Yeah, it's one thing to put on a new self and kind of clean ourselves up, put on that mask, and come to church and present yourself as someone that is pursuing God, someone that loves God, someone that has put away the things of the world. Because most of the things that we read here in this text that are about the old self, we would be very embarrassed bringing those in to the church. And we would think, well, I don't want people to see that. But what about tomorrow? What about Friday night? You see, putting off the old self and putting on the new self means that we've completely changed, or at least we're in the process of completely changing. Because I might be a slow learner, but it is a process. It's not something that happens overnight. We're continually working on self. And I think one of the difficulties, we read texts like this, and I've mentioned this before, we automatically go to somebody else. And well, yeah, they ought to put those things off. They ought to quit doing that. They ought to straighten up their act. They ought to get things together and follow Christ like I follow Christ. And then we look into the mirror, specifically the mirror of God's Word, and we think, uh-oh. Maybe I ought to pay more attention to following Christ like Christ lived before I start thinking people ought to follow me like I follow Christ. So we're going to be looking at what it looks like on a day-to-day basis to put on this new self. And we're going to use that word self. That will be our outline. And we begin by putting on a new seriousness. Now, I'm not talking necessarily about this straight-faced, serious look that says we have no fun, that we don't enjoy life, that everything's... I'm talking about the things that we become serious about. What in your life are you serious about? And you might say, well, I don't know. What do you spend your time doing? What are your thoughts focused on when you're just daydreaming and you've got nothing really important going on? You know, some people, they're serious about money. And their life is driven about whatever it takes to get more of it. Some people are serious about sports. And their life is driven about knowing and playing and practicing and doing whatever it takes to be the very best at that sport. Some people are serious about family. And they sacrifice whatever it takes to keep the family together, to do things as a family, to enjoy life as a family. And we could go on and on, and that list of the things that you are serious about is probably a very long one if we add it together from everybody's examples. And the good news is that many of those things that we're serious about are not wrong, they're not bad, they're things that we ought to probably have at least some degree of seriousness about. But what supersedes them all? What is the driving force, whether you're serious about sports, whether you're serious about money, whether you're serious about family? I believe we find that in these first few verses of Colossians chapter 3. He says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." When we put on this new self, we put on this new seriousness that changes what our hearts and minds are set on. And so if family is important, if sports is important, if money is important, it all becomes changed into looking at how God views that. And so he may not call you to give up your seriousness about money. He may call you to change the way you use it. To do things in this world, to help people, to serve and to comfort and to encourage, often requires money. It doesn't always. Sometimes just your presence is enough. But I think about the people that are suffering in Turkey and Syria. And to watch some of those news clips. And it's great to pray for them, and sometimes that's all we can do. But when our seriousness changes to the things of God, we begin to say, how can I help in a way that makes God known? And I've said this in almost every disaster that we encounter. I encourage you, if God has gifted you with the ability to give, International Disaster Emergency Service, IDES, an organization that I've volunteered with a number of times, does great work in taking help and hope to people in the name of Jesus. And they work with partners in Syria and Turkey and around the world when disaster strikes to provide the help that's needed along with the good news of Jesus. And that's a seriousness that says we want to help, but we want Jesus in the center of it. And when we look at our family, when we look at the things that we enjoy, when we look at life, putting on this new self takes on this new seriousness that says, in the midst of whatever God does through my life, I want Jesus to be in charge. And so, whatever that looks like, if you have the ability to help people, do it with Jesus in charge. If you have the ability to teach people, do it with Jesus in charge. If you have the ability to play sports at a high level, do it with Jesus in charge. One of the things that I like coming out of major sporting events is when we start to hear stories of how Christ leads the life of some of those athletes. And that's what it looks like to live life by putting on a new self. I'm still doing what God has gifted and called me to do, but I'm doing it for a different cause, and that cause is Jesus. And so whatever we're called to do, whatever we're gifted to do, God says do it with a new seriousness, one that sees him as the guy in charge, the one that leads. He says, when we belong to Christ, we have died. And our new life is now hidden in Christ. That's serious. Secondly, when we put on this new self, we not only put on a new seriousness, we put on a new example. Verses 5 through 11 kind of give that contrast between the old example of life and the new that we're called to put on. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And then he lists some of that. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. I want to pause right there. Sometimes we hear that, we read that, and our first thought was, yeah, if those people would just change, God would relent and the wrath of God would be held back. This book, specifically this letter, was written by the Apostle Paul to the Christians. He's writing to the Christians and says, because of these in your life, the wrath of God is coming. He goes on, he says, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. Kind of would make me to think that they haven't quite accomplished that yet. He wouldn't tell them, but now you must rid yourselves of these things if they already had. And so this stuff is still present. This stuff is often present in our life after we come to Christ because it's difficult to get rid of. We rid ourselves of these things such as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from our lips. And he gives us the reason. The verses I read at the beginning of the message. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. And so all of a sudden that new example says the things of the flesh, the things of my past, the things which may have defined me no longer have to be that. Because Christ is all and is in all. We live life putting on this new example when we take the serious look, not at how we see our life, but how God sees our life. We're pretty good in our culture at comparisons. And for the most part, and I know we have different personalities, but for the most part, we tend to compare ourselves to someone that, well, their life isn't quite what ours is. And we say, well, at least I don't do that. I may lie a little bit, but at least I don't steal. And we do those comparisons as if God judges us on the curve. And as long as I'm better than most people, then I'm probably good enough. And God writes to the Christians through the Apostle Paul, and he says, no. All of this is things that you must rid yourselves of. You must set a new example. You must set the example of Jesus. That's who you've put on. You've clothed yourself with Christ when you've come into Christ. And so each of us, we gaze into the Word of God. We use it as a mirror to help us see what needs changed. And we use it as a guide to help us see what to change to. And we get rid of the things of this world, the things of earth, the things that are not pleasing to God, the things that are not beneficial to others. We live life and we put on this new self, when we put on a new serious, we put on the new example, but we also put on a new love. We'll talk more about this next week. But Paul addresses it here in Colossians in verses 12 through 14. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, therefore, in other words, because you've put off the anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language, because you've died to Christ, because Christ is in all and is all, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Okay, you've put off these things. Now, if you put off of these things, you probably ought to put something on. And he tells you, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Do those characteristics sound familiar? We see them throughout Scripture. We see them as part of the fruit of God's Spirit. We see them in 1 Corinthians 13. I shared part of this passage yesterday. I was going to mention that earlier, but Jim Johnson was married yesterday, and congratulations to you and Janet, and praying that they have a great life together through that. But we shared that in the ceremony. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning at verse 4, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Paul says to the Colossians, because you are God's chosen people, because you've put on this new self, then you should clothe yourselves with these things that show his love. And he goes on in verse 13, bear with each other, forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all of these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. When we put on the new self, we put on a new love that seeks what's good for others, even above what's good for ourselves. That tends to be the nature of what we consider a good parent. And I recognize not everyone has parents that have lived like that and have treated you like that, but that's what we look at as God's word as the ideal. Parents that are willing to sacrifice so that their kids can have what they need. Parents that put their children above themselves in their time, in their energy, in their devotion. Putting on this new self puts on a new love that goes beyond our parent-child relationship to our relationship to one another within the body of Christ. Do we care about one another enough to step back and say, okay, it doesn't have to be my way? And so many times we look at God's word and we kind of try to weave it in with the American culture and we come up with this very selfish look at love. And we're in the midst of this holiday that we kind of focus on love, Valentine's Day. But so many times even that kind of becomes this commercialized extravaganza that has very little to do with sacrificial love. Oh yeah, I bought you some chocolates, so you owe me. We tend to twist things. And we even make our giving to others become more about us than about them. And putting on this new self says we put on a new love that seeks the good of others, that seeks the glory of Christ, that seeks a unity that only comes when we forgive as the Lord forgives us. And when we put on all of these virtues, the compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, when we bear with each other, when we forgive, when we're forgiven, God says that we have a love which binds us together in perfect unity. Finally, as we consider what it looks like to put on a new self, we not only put on a new seriousness, a new example, a new love, but we put on a new focus. We change the direction and intensity of our gaze so that it's fixed on Christ. It's fixed on His Word. Verses 15 through 17 of Colossians 3 continue and says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." I don't know about you, but as I read that over and over this past week in preparation for today, those words, thankful, and those words, peace, kept jumping out at me. This new focus, a focus of thankfulness, a focus of peace. We put on that new self. And just as when it comes to our sin and our activity, we tend to compare ourselves with those that are worse off than we are, at least in our mind. When it comes to what we have, we tend to compare ourselves to those that have more. And we're not all that thankful because, well, I would be thankful if I had what they had. And putting on this new self puts on a new focus that looks at what Christ has given to me. And it looks beyond the temporary of this world and it sees the eternal nature of this freedom that we have in Christ. It sees the eternal nature of the glory that's found in the presence of Christ. When we learn to be thankful, when we learn contentment, when we learn peace, we begin to change the direction in which we look. When we see one another and we live with this new focus, it's no longer about what has happened in the past, it's about what God will do in the future. We all live with baggage. We all live with the past. We all live with elements of our life that we would just as soon others didn't know about, but they were there, they understand it, and we struggle with how to overcome that. If you've ever been in an encounter with someone that seemed to be going well, and then all of a sudden somebody brought up your past and it changed the whole encounter to a negative thing, you're probably thinking, why did they have to say that? Why did they have to bring that up? It really wasn't even relevant. But I think there's times where the enemy sneaks in and Satan kind of refocuses our mind and he just prompts us in such a way that says, what about that? And before we can filter our mind and our mouth, the words come out. And there's this barrier erected. And when we put on this new self, we put on a new focus that says, I want peace and I want unity, I want thankfulness. I want these characteristics that God has called us to as the body of Christ, as a family. One of the reasons that we began these BFF nights last summer was trying to come out of the entire pandemic mindset that had us isolated and alone. And saying, what can we do to encourage one another? What can we do to fellowship? What can we do to live with this peace and thankfulness and unity? Well, we're America. We have food. And we fellowship. And we realize the uniqueness of individuals. And we sit around a table. And we share stories. We share stories of our life, of the things that are our struggles and that we need prayer for. We share stories of our life and the things that have gone well and that we rejoice in. And we find out that that person that sits across the room from me on a Sunday morning isn't necessarily all that different from what I am. They have good days, they have bad days, they do well, they struggle. They need grace, they need forgiveness, just as I do. And we come together in that unity of the Spirit that says together, God makes us strong because we work and function as a body. And God has been doing some incredible things through this body here at Deer Run, and I believe there are more things that He wants to do. And He continually builds us up individually. He continually builds us up as a body. And as He builds us up, He gives us opportunity. And together we do that because we've put off that old self. And so many times that old self was a self of selfishness. And this new self is a self of generosity. It's a self of love. It's a self of peace and thankfulness. This morning, as we come to a time of decision, the question is, what's most visible in your life? I'm here to confess and let you know that it's attention. For most of us, at least, unless I'm all alone in this, we have elements of that old self that we just struggle to get rid of no matter how hard we try. It's there. But we also have that new self that has been taking over as we allow it to. Who do you give the most weight to in your day-to-day decisions? Are you continually putting on that new self? To do so, it's most effective if you take off the old self first. If I get up in the morning and I get ready to work, maybe I have a project I need to do in the garage and I put on some old grungy clothes and I go out and work and I think, well, I've got to get ready to go down to church and I need to put on some clean clothes. Now, if I don't take off the old grungy clothes first and just put the clean clothes on over them, the clean clothes aren't going to stay clean very long. The dirt, the filth, the grease, the oil from the garage is going to soak through, and it isn't long before the dirty clothes don't get clean. The clean clothes get dirty. And putting on this new self kind of acts the same way. When we fail to take off the old self, we think we can just cover up, and it leaks through. Those things He talked about, the rage, the anger, the jealousy, if we don't take them off, they leak through. In this time of decision, I believe God is calling every one of us to decide to do something. For some, maybe you're here this morning outside of Christ. You've never given your life to Christ. You've never said, God, I need You. I need the blood of Jesus to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I need to submit to Your will and Your commands. I need to have my sins washed away. It's in that act of having your sins washed away that your old self is cleansed so that you can put on that new self. For most of us, as we gather, we've done that. But it's still a work in progress. And perhaps God is calling you to a new seriousness, to say, I need to be serious about Christ being in charge. Perhaps He's calling you to be a new example. Jesus says that we should let our light shine so that the world, that the people around us would see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. We need to be that example that people see and says, wow, I don't know what motivates them, but I want it. And we know what motivates us is Christ. Perhaps you need to put on a new love. Maybe your love for others has been kind of driven by the world, driven by what you get out of it rather than what Christ puts into it. Perhaps God is calling you to a new focus, that you do set your mind on things above, that He is in charge. Whatever decision God is calling you to make, I pray that you make it today. Perhaps right where you're at, you spend some quiet time with God and say, yes, I'll put on the new self. I'll take off the old. With God's help, with His Spirit within me, I will live like God wants me to live. If that's a decision you need to make, whether it's something you need to make where you're at or if you need to make it publicly, you're welcome to come as we stand and as we sing.